Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
Well, it affected me, certainly. I had always believed that, you know, in the presence of priests, everything would be transparent and truthful. And I discovered that this wasn't the case. And I had great difficulty in believing the things that I was being told. Some kept on telling me that I was asking the wrong questions, you know. And I once said to one cardinal, if you ask me tomorrow morning to say Mass, you know what? I wouldn't know where to start. I can attend Mass, I can follow Mass, but if I had to organise a Mass, I wouldn't know where to start. Now, you've not been trained to be an auditor. How can you tell me how to do my work?
You said that to the Cardinal?
Oh, yes.
How did he react?
I said, you don't understand. I said, I do understand.
New scandal rocking the Vatican. A senior cleric has been arrested by Italian police investigating allegations of money laundering.
A senior banking official in the Catholic hierarchy has been placed under investigation of the Vatican Bank.
Nuzzi says, quote, this is a true battle between good and evil.
In addition, the Pope will name an auditor general which will have access to all institutions of the Holy See and the Vatican City State.
Hello, I'm Colm Flynn, and I'm standing in the middle of St. Peter's Square here at the Vatican in Rome. You can hear the bells of St. Peter's Basilica behind me. And in this episode of Heart and Soul from the documentary on the BBC World Service, I'm going to be talking to a man who once worked here at the Vatican, at the heart of the Catholic Church, with a mammoth task. For the first time in history, to audit the Vatican accounts and help Pope Francis bring about financial reform. And as you're about to hear, it was not going to be easy. Libero, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you.
I'm meeting Libero Malone in the offices of his lawyer. He worked for the Vatican for 2 years until 2017, but now he is pursuing a multi-million euro lawsuit against the Vatican for unfair dismissal, lack of earnings, and emotional distress. So where is this? We're in the centre of Rome.
We're in the centre of Rome, about a kilometre away from the Vatican.
Wow, this close.
My name is Libero Milone. I'm an Italian born in the Netherlands.
Libero grew up in The Hague in Holland, where he attended a Catholic school. His family were practicing Catholics and he went to Mass every Sunday. Then they moved to England and Libero started to work in the world of finance.
I became an accountant in England. I'm a chartered accountant. I became an auditor of an accounting firm and I spent over 30 years being an auditor.
He worked for major organisations around the world, like the car giant Fiat, the United Nations and Deloitte. But it was in 2015 that a new boss came calling. Pope Francis wanted him to be the first Auditor General to help reform the finances at the Vatican.
Well, first of all, when I was named and I accepted, it was rather a surprise because they telephoned me in the morning saying the Pope is going to nominate you today at midday and I had no contract and everything. So,
welcome to the Vatican.
So this is the Vatican.
As a Catholic, was this an exciting time for you to be going in and working within the church?
Well, having had the opportunity to see all the activities that they had undertaken to reform and reorganize the finances and recognizing my own personal experience, I thought it was a very interesting challenge to build something new.
Did you feel that you were almost part of a watershed moment for the Vatican, that things were going to change?
The whole issue was a watershed for the Vatican, so it was very important.
How much of it was professional and how much of this was personal, you wanting to give back to your church, your faith?
Well, in my thinking before the appointment, I said if they decide to choose me, since I've had a very successful professional life, maybe this is an opportunity to use that experience that I've gained and donate it to the church in order that its finances can become better organized, which was the objective of the whole exercise.
Did you ever pray about it, about the job ahead?
Oh, yes, I prayed quite a few times. Actually, close to where I live in Rome, there is an Argentinian church. I even went to the Argentinian church a couple of times.
to connect spiritually more with your boss, your new boss, Pope Francis, who is Argentinian.
Exactly.
So Pope Francis chose you. When was the first time you met him, and what was that experience like, meeting the Holy Father, the head of the Catholic Church?
When I was chosen on the 5th of June, it was a Friday. I went to the Vatican the following week, and I asked if I could meet my boss. And they said, he's very busy, it will take time to get it done. I said, well, it's important. It was quite a surprise that the following week he called me for a meeting. So they chaperoned me to Santa Marta, where he lives, and they put me in a waiting room. And I expected that I would be moved from the waiting room to meet him in his office or something. I had no clue how he was organized. After about 10 minutes, there was this person in white who walked in the room. It was Pope Francis. He was coming to me.
Because gone are the days where Pope Francis uses the Apostolic Palace as much,
exactly.
Of course, he's using...
Very informal.
The small
we sat down and we spoke for 40 minutes. When I left the room, I said, you know, it's as if I've met an uncle who I haven't... I've never seen before in my life, you know?
And did you talk about the job that was ahead of you?
Yes, he said there was going to be a big challenge, that it needed a lot of dedication. He underlined the fact that you have to be very independent and that you report to me.
So even though you had to touch in with various departments, the Pope told you he wanted you reporting to him and keeping him updated personally.
Yes, he told me that he wanted me to be sure that I was independent.
And what was your relationship like with Pope Francis? I believe you met him every 3 or 4 weeks, was it?
3 or 4 weeks, depending on the progress that we've made. And the first meeting, he said to me, don't bring me reports. Let me have them the day before because I want to read them.
Okay.
He actually read the reports, and every meeting I went, he would interrogate me on a few matters. So it was very interesting from that perspective. And that he was taking a real interest. But every meeting he kept on, when I left, he always kept on telling me, are you still independent? And I said, yes, of course I am.
What do you think he meant by that question?
I think he understood that the environment I had to work in was very difficult. He maybe felt that there could be pressures from certain circles to avoid me doing my work properly.
When you first saw the Vatican accounts, what was your reaction when you saw the level of accountancy and record keeping?
Do you really want me to answer that question?
Yeah, the honest answer.
Well, some of the dicasteries had reasonable accounting records. Others had very poor numbers written on pieces of paper by pencil. And somebody put them together to make them look like a balance sheet.
I remember someone talking to me in the Vatican once and explaining how it can be difficult, in their defense somewhat, for some of the people working in some of the areas because they don't come from a business or financial background. They may have been a priest who became a bishop, who was promoted to the Vatican, who then becomes a cardinal, and all of a sudden they're in charge of vast sums of money with no experience of managing these sums of money. So that they just do not know how to handle it or how to account for it.
And that was exactly the problem. A lot of the people did not have the right experience and they did not have accounting backgrounds. When I mentioned to you earlier that somebody thanked me at some point about the work we're doing, I remember one cardinal saying to me one day, thank you for having helped us because I didn't know that this had to be, you know, I was trained to be a priest.
When did you start to become suspicious when you were auditing the accounts or trying to audit the accounts?
I started working in July. July and August in the Vatican is typically holiday period. September, October, by the end of October, I had a sense that there was a number of strange things going on that needed proper analysis. And
what do you mean by that, strange things going on?
Well, the accounting records weren't properly kept, and there was the lack of willingness to sort out some of the issues. But this is only for some of the dicasteries.
Mm.
And I told the Pope, because it was part of my reporting to him.
So when you went to them and you said, look, I need a supporting documentation for this, what would they say back to you?
Oh, we haven't got it, or it's too difficult to find. It's in the archives. We don't know where. Yeah, we haven't got time. We have too few people to do the administration. There are a lot of excuses being put together.
What's extraordinary as well, Libero, I've heard you say before, is that you claim to have uncovered evidence of cardinals, the people who will pick the next pope and from whom the next pope will come, lining their own pockets.
In fact, I told the Pope. Obviously, I told the Pope that I found evidence of some cardinals putting money into their pockets. And the Pope said it was very serious and that they would have to give the money back.
Mm.
And I told him that it wasn't my job. You know, I was the auditor. He said, no, you go and explain to them what you found. You'll then discover that they'll give the money back. So presumably, he did a bit of work himself. I remember one cardinal becoming very red in the face when he saw the piece of paper that I showed him about the analysis we're doing. And he told me, oh, but, you know, because the money that he'd lined his pocket with ended up in the bank account of the Vatican Euro, which is the Vatican Bank.
Vatican Bank.
Except that it ended up in his account and not the Castries account. Oh, they took the wrong code number.
Right. So this money had been donated or given or was earmarked for a dicastery, which would be used for the work of the Vatican, the work of the church, and instead it ends up in that cardinal's personal account.
Yes. He gave it back.
I noticed that you're saying cardinals, plural. So it wasn't just one cardinal.
No, there were others. There were cardinals. Cardinals and archbishops had the same sort. Some had the same sort of habits, bad habits.
To be clear with people, when you say cardinals lining their pockets, are we talking thousands of euros, hundreds of thousands of euros?
Oh, hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands of euro. And this presumably has come from faithful all over the world.
Yeah, it's because the Catholic Church receives donations.
Peter Spence.
Peter Spence, but also direct donations in other dicasteries for the activities they're doing. And these have to be used for the activities of the church. Some of this money was being diverted into the wrong bank accounts. In my younger years, I thought the church was composed of honest people who were there to support people in general when there were issues and to help us understand the Catholic religion.
It's not meant to sound like a funny question, but would you ever turn for divine help or divine intervention? Did you ever pray in the Vatican and say, God, can you help me here?
No, not in that sense, but a number of occasions when I walked into Sant'Anna, which is one of the gates opposite from my offices, as you walk into the Sant'Anna gate on the right, there's this church, which is Sant'Anna, and I did walk in a few times to pray as I was going to meet with the cardinals. It was instinctive more than anything else, but if you can put it this way, it was a way of looking for support.
You're listening to Heart and Soul from the documentary on the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
I'm Colm Flynn and I'm talking to Libero Malone, who Pope Francis appointed in 2015 as the first ever Auditor General to the Vatican. But Libero wasn't untangling the Vatican finances alone. He was working with his business partner, Ferruccio Panicchio, and also working closely with Australian Cardinal George Pell, who Pope Francis had appointed to lead the Vatican Secretariat for the Economy.
In the words of Australian Cardinal George Pell, the idea is to get the Vatican off the gossip pages and to make it boringly successful.
Cardinal George Pell was fighting to clean up the finances, but then, suddenly, in 2017, had to return to Australia to face claims of sexual abuse. And after spending 14 months in prison, Australia's highest court overturned his conviction, ruling there was never enough evidence to convict him in the first place. Many people believe the accusations made against him were somehow linked to the work he was doing to stamp out criminal activity at the Vatican. He then returned to Rome, where he spoke to this very program about the work he was doing with Libero Malone.
There have been decades of scandals, going back to the 80s. Now, I'm not saying the criminality was widespread, but it was there. And, of course, criminality thrives on incompetence.
So I can imagine in that role, trying to stamp out corruption, incompetence in the Vatican finances, you must have had your enemies, people who were not your fan.
Oh, yes, for sure. There were criminal elements connected and involved, there's no doubt about that. But you can't say that the case is closed, and it might never be.
Cardinal George Pell died in 2023 while in an Italian hospital to get a hip replacement. Libero Malone's business partner, who worked with him at the Vatican, died last year of cancer. Libero's greatest challenge came when he was trying to audit one of the highest and most powerful Vatican departments, the Secretariat of State. And he says some apparent investments into real estate in London piqued his interest. The person in charge of those questionable investments was Italian Cardinal Angelo Becciu.
He's a difficult person. Maybe somebody can say I'm a difficult person as well. You know, I have targets, I need to get things done. But my dealings with him were spring of 2016. He was one of the entities we visited to explain how we would do the work. And they showed us a piece of paper, and they were their investments in real estate and financial investments. And I said, well, that's fair, but, you know, I need to see the documentation. Sooner or later, I'll find out what it is.
Libero pushed to get the supporting financial documentation so that he could audit these investments. But Cardinal Becciu pushed back. And given his position, he was one of the most senior and most powerful cardinals in the Vatican. And one morning when Libero went to meet him, allegedly, he told Libero that the Pope had fired him.
Come in, sit down, and immediately said, the Pope has lost faith in you. And he asked you to resign. I said, well, can I speak to the Pope? He said, no. He said, you were actually spying on me. I said, I wasn't spying on you. Yeah, you were spying on me and other cardinals. I said, well, you know, a bit of a surprise, but, you know, I was just doing all the work. I wasn't spying on anybody. You know, maybe when I was doing the work and I found these cardinals who put money in their pocket, they hadn't understood that I was just doing all the work. I wasn't spying on them.
So Becciu brought you in, told you the Pope had lost confidence, but you couldn't meet him. But not only that, that he accused you of overstepping your power and your authority.
Yeah,
and
he said that I spied on him as well. And he said, you know that I didn't pay some social security contributions.
So he then told you to go to the Vatican police, which you did.
He actually called the Vatican police to come and collect me. And they put me in a car and they took me to the Gendarmerie, where they pulled out this this document, which is a criminal investigation decree, which outlined these issues.
Libero and his business partner had their offices raided by Vatican police and all their documents and computers seized. They were questioned for hours in a Vatican police station and they were told to resign or the Vatican would take criminal charges against them. This was in 2017, the same year charges were suddenly made against Cardinal George Pell, who had to leave the Vatican and his work stamping out corruption.
I was shocked. What else could I And I was just terribly shocked because I didn't, there was no reason for what they were saying. I just told them, you're wrong. You've mistaken everything. I haven't spied on anybody. I haven't embezzled. You know, I've done nothing. I've just done my job properly.
And so did they arrest you?
No. They kept on telling me that I had to resign. I said, well, you know, why resign? You have to confess. You have to confess. I said, confess what? I've done nothing. I've done my job. What do you want me to do? Confess my job? I've done my job. Hmm. No, you have to confess that you spied on... I didn't spy on anybody.
Did they threaten you?
Oh, yes, they threatened me. They said they would put me in jail. They would make life difficult for me and all sorts of things, you know. But they got to the point and I said, well, you know, I've had enough of this, you know. I can't work in this environment, you know. I'll resign. I said, and I called the secretary to prepare a resignation letter. And they said, no, it's ready. Don't worry. We have it already.
Were you worried, Libero, in any way that if you signed that letter of resignation that it could be seen by some as some sort of admission of guilt that you had done something wrong? Because here you are, world-class auditor who is, you know, I'm sure was used to being in the rough and tumble and dealing with tough people, and just after a day you said, okay, I'll resign.
Well, the way they treated me, the way the violence of their words and their attitude... You know, I had no interest of staying any longer in that sort of an environment. And I did cross my mind that, you know, they were accusing me of something that I hadn't done and it would affect me some way, but I thought more about myself and my family at that moment. And I left. You know, you have to know that after this event, you know, I didn't sleep basically for 3 months. You know, when I say I didn't sleep, you know, maybe I slept an hour or so every night because I just kept waking up, you know, remembering this interrogation, the way they were treating me, you know, and asking myself, what did I do wrong in the 2 years, you know?
Libero signed the letter of resignation, as did his business partner. They were now out of the Vatican. It's incredible that 2 years before that, you had entered the Vatican as one of the heroes of Pope Francis's reforms on the finances. When you left that evening in your car, looking in the rearview mirror at St. Peter's Basilica and the beautiful dome of St. Peter's, after everything that happened, what was going through your mind?
I was just shocked. I was just really shocked. And I thought that the Pope had not been properly informed. You know, because I found it very strange that the Pope would have supported my exit without commenting it in any way. So I met...
Or without at least meeting you, just to be clear.
Without meeting and no comments.
You never met him around that time, and since you have never met him?
No. I've written to him 7 times asking to meet him. I have the impression the letters never got to him. Or he's too embarrassed to try to meet with me.
Of those 7 letters, how many responses?
No responses.
None.
None.
Back in 2017, when Libero first made a public statement claiming that he was forced to resign because of what he was uncovering, the Vatican responded by saying that he exceeded his powers as an auditor and illegally engaged an external company to conduct investigative activities on the private lives of Vatican personnel. They also said that he resigned freely. When the BBC contacted the Vatican for comment on these claims made in this program, they did not respond.
The Vatican court sentenced a cardinal to 5.5 years in jail for corruption and embezzlement. Listen to this, including directing contracts to companies owned by his brothers. 75-year-old Angelo Becciu.
Cardinal Angelo Becciu, who formerly acted as Pope Francis's chief of staff, found guilty of embezzlement and fraud.
But in 2023, Cardinal Angelo Becciu, the cardinal who Meloni has always claimed was behind his resignation, was found guilty in a Vatican court of embezzlement and fraud, costing the Vatican hundreds of millions of euros in a botched real estate deal in London, the same deal which Meloni had wanted to audit. Becciu is now appealing that verdict. Libero claims he hasn't worked since he was ousted at the Vatican and is suing the Vatican for 9.3 million euros for unfair dismissal, loss of income, emotional distress, and loss of medical records he claims led to the premature death of his business partner. The Vatican has dismissed his case, and his appeal will be heard later this year. And how were you feeling in those sleepless nights? Were you disappointed? Were you angry? Were you feeling betrayed?
Angry and betrayed. Disappointed? Maybe, but really angry and betrayed. You know, I was asked to do a job, and I did it to my best of my ability and knowledge. And something didn't like it, but you know, what has happened since I left demonstrates that, you know, I was on the right track.
When you say betrayed, betrayed by who?
Oh, betrayed by the people who didn't want me to see things.
Do you feel betrayed by the Pope?
No, I think that he was misinformed.
How has your faith been affected by the whole ordeal?
It's been badly affected. I'm still a practicing Catholic, but you know, often going to church and ask myself the question and say, "Well, the parish priest is not one of them. He's a nice guy. I've known him for many years. My parish priest. 95% of the people in the Vatican are good people. Mm. It's just a bunch of maybe 5% that have different interests."
Do you still put money in the basket?
I still put money in the basket, yes. I've asked myself a number of times this question. When I started to work, somebody asked me, you know, why are you doing this? I said, well, my mother has already died. But I remember my mother going to church and giving money because it was for the church, you know. And there I was, seeing that this money was coming in and it was not being used for the church. So the good thing I was trying to do was that, you know,
Fix that problem
for all the people who are giving money. But you know,
how confident are you that through the Vatican court system you will get the justice that you want?
That's a very good question. I'm not confident. I hope that they will try to sort it out. If the appeal court doesn't undertake to examine the case properly, we would have to go to the Court of Cassation. Way of resolving the issue is going to the International Court of Justice in The Hague. You know, I know that we are absolutely, totally innocent. I don't see why I have to stick with a punishment which is not due.
How confident are you that you'll hear from Pope Francis again?
I hope to hear from him, but I don't know if he's being informed. Mm.
Libero Malone, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to an interview with former Vatican Auditor General Libero Malone here on Heart and Soul on the BBC World Service. The programme was presented and produced by me, Colm Flynn, and the executive producer was Rajiv Gupta.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.